Today is Friday, November the 21st, and you are listening to the World Socialist Website. Mass walkouts in North Carolina against immigration raids. Workers must lead the fight against kidnapping operations. By Jacob Cross. Over 30,000 students in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School District took part in a sick-out on Monday to protest the police state raids being carried out by the Trump administration. Representing 20% of the district's total enrollments, the walkouts were a powerful rebuke to the ongoing Gestapo-style raids in Charlotte, North Carolina's largest city. The protests continued throughout the week, with hundreds joining walkouts on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at schools, including East Mecklenburg High School, Philip O. Berry Academy, Ballantyne Ridge High School, and Northwest School of the Arts. Many students carried handmade signs defending immigrant rights and denouncing the raids. Of the over 147,000 students in the district, some 44,000 students are Hispanic. By week's end, more than 56,000 students had refused to go to class, making the Charlotte protests one of the largest expressions of opposition to Trump's immigration crackdown in the country. We've noticed a really dramatic change as ICE raids have continued to get a lot worse in our community, said Chase Jordan Vancher, a senior and one of the organisers of a walkout at his school. After seeing several other schools start protests, we wanted to do the same. The students have been joined by growing sections of the population. Charlotte residents are organising in chat groups and on social media to monitor and resist federal raids. They are sharing reports on sightings of Border Patrol and ICE agents, including at schools, homes, and even retail outlets, like the Charlotte Premium Outlets, where a heavily armed and camouflaged agent was spotted. Absolutely disgusting to post up in an establishment where families, workers, and children are present, wrote one local resident. As in Chicago and Los Angeles, many residents who are not themselves targeted by immigration raids are defending their immigrant neighbours. At a Home Depot on Wednesday, more than 100 people gathered to confront federal agents attempting to abduct day labourers. The same day, over 1,000 people attended a volunteer event at a local church to offer support and protection to immigrants. Erica Reynosa, a local resident, said many immigrants are staying home. They're locked in for their own safety. That same night, hundreds of workers and young people marched through Charlotte, demanding an end to the raids. Signs that the demonstration read, "Human rights have no borders. Immigrants are not criminals, but Donald Trump is. And no human being is illegal." The protests are a response to a brutal and unprecedented immigration crackdown that has turned entire working-class communities into militarized zones. Last week, as part of Trump's expanding war on the working class, federal immigration agents launched a sweeping operation across North Carolina under the direction of Customs and Border Protection, CBP Commander Gregory Bovino. The operation, given the absurd codename Charlotte's Web by the Department of Homeland Security, marked a sharp escalation in brutality. Unlike previous operations carried out by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, this one was spearheaded by CBP, a move designed to circumvent any local legal restrictions. The result has been a campaign of terror. Masked, heavily armed agents in unmarked dark vehicles have been filmed trespassing on private property, pulling over drivers at gunpoint, and abducting workers suspected of being undocumented, all without warrants or legal justification. In the span of just 1 week, nearly 400 people have been arrested in Charlotte and surrounding towns, such as Raleigh, Winston-Salem, Hickory, Lenoir, and Blowing Rock. Asians have refused to disclose the identities of those detained, their legal status, or whether any had outstanding charges. Eyewitness accounts describe agents monitoring traffic for suspicious patterns, targeting families in stores and public spaces, and terrorising entire neighbourhoods. Local residents, regardless of immigration status, are being subjected to racial profiling and unconstitutional searches. What is underway is mass abduction and political intimidation carried out by a fascistic police apparatus. On Thursday, the Department of Homeland Security told Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden that Charlotte's web was officially over, but DHS spokesperson Tricia McLaughlin told The Guardian, "The operation is not over and is not ending anytime soon." Many federal agents are now expected to redeploy to New Orleans for Swamp Sweep, a month-long operation targeting southeast Louisiana, with up to 250 agents arriving beginning Friday. The protests in North Carolina mark a significant development in the growing popular opposition to Trump's war on democratic rights. They come just 1 month after millions participated in the nationwide No Kings demonstrations. Recent polls show that more than half of North Carolinians believe the country is headed in the wrong direction, with a majority disapproving of Trump, a state Trump carried in the last three elections. The immigration raids in Charlotte mark a major escalation of the Trump administration's conspiracy to establish a presidential dictatorship. With no legal justification, the administration is deploying heavily armed Border Patrol agents, far from any border, as a paramilitary force to carry out abductions and terrorise the population. The deployment is part of a broader assertion of unlimited executive power, including the use of federal troops in American cities, the preparation for invoking the Insurrection Act, and the declaration of a war on what Trump calls the enemy within, that is, the American working class. When NBC's Jacob Soboroff asked the DHS spokesperson McLaughlin to explain the legal basis for deploying the Border Patrol, which is legally allowed to operate within 100 miles of the border, in Charlotte, she replied with a single word, airport. This answer, even more absurd than the previous justification of Lake Michigan used to deploy agents in Chicago, makes clear that the administration is dispensing entirely with all legal norms in its drive toward authoritarian rule. The raids in Charlotte are taking place just a week after the end of the government shutdown, which the Democratic Party ended on Trump's terms. Throughout the shutdown, the Democrats avoided any mention of Trump's conspiracy for dictatorship, presenting the conflict as a budgetary disagreement. Then, as popular opposition grew and the crisis of the administration deepened, they handed Trump a political lifeline. Their aim was not to oppose Trump's war on democratic rights, but to contain mass anger and preserve the state. Far from an opposition party, the Democrats, including Biden, Harris, and figures like Bernie Sanders, have facilitated Trump's anti-immigrant program at every step, from Title 42 expulsions to expanding deportation powers under the Laken Riley Act. Sanders in particular has repeatedly praised Trump's attacks, telling right-wing comedian Tim Dillon last month that Trump did a better job than Biden in waging war on immigrants. The Socialist Equality Party calls for the broadest mobilisation of the working class in defence of immigrant workers and democratic rights. The brutal ICE and Border Patrol raids in Charlotte and across the country are central to the fascistic programme of the Trump administration, which is seeking to build an American police state under the command of the financial oligarchy. At the same time that immigrant families are being terrorised and disappeared, workers are confronting mass layoffs, plant closures, and industrial deaths. The same government that is rounding up workers on the streets of Charlotte is overseeing the gutting of food stamps, Medicaid, and public education. It is sending workers to die in unsafe facilities and handing out trillions to billionaires like Elon Musk and Wall Street speculators. The defence of immigrants must be fused with the growing resistance in the working class. Students must turn to workers and workers must take up the cause of immigrants as their own. The SEP calls for the formation of rank-and-file committees in every workplace and neighbourhood to organise opposition from below, independently of the union bureaucracy and both corporate-controlled parties. Workers must demand and fight for the immediate end to the mass roundups, the release of all those detained, and the withdrawal of Border Patrol and CBP from all domestic policing operations. The Trump administration is a government of, by, and for the capitalist oligarchy. Its goal is to smash all opposition to the social counter-revolution being carried out on behalf of the billionaires. To stop dictatorship, defend democratic rights, and secure jobs, wages, and a future for all, workers must unite across all racial, national, and citizenship lines and build a socialist movement to take power and reorganize society on the basis of human need, not private profit. Verizon begins cutting 13,000 workers as global jobs massacre accelerates. By Jerry White. Verizon's announcement that it will eliminate more than 13,000 jobs, the largest mass layoff in the company's history, has triggered shock, anger, and anxiety among telecommunications workers and across wide layers of the working class. The cuts, first reported by the Wall Street Journal last week and confirmed in a company-wide memo from new CEO Dan Schulman Thursday, amount to roughly one-fifth of Verizon's management workforce, and come as the company claims it must reorient its business and simplify operations in the name of improving customer experience. The real motive is not customer satisfaction, but Wall Street's satisfaction. Verizon posted nearly $5 billion in profit in the third quarter alone and is aggressively restructuring to boost its stock price, slash labor costs, and prepare for intensified competition in wireless, home internet, and enterprise services. Schulman, who took over only last month, declared that Verizon had reached a critical inflection point and announced an aggressive transformation of the business, corporate language that workers immediately understand as synonymous with firings, outsourcing, and speed-up. The Verizon cuts come as new, long-delayed jobs data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, expose the underlying weakness of the US labor market and contradict claims by the Trump administration and the media of a strong economy. The September employment report, held back for 7 weeks by the government shutdown, shows anemic job growth, rising jobless rates, slowing wage gains, and significant job losses in key productive sectors such as manufacturing, warehousing, and logistics. On Reddit and thelayoff.com, Verizon employees have flooded forums with reports of entire departments being eliminated and hundreds of retail stores divested or closed. Many describe scenes of stunned silence during mass conference calls where entire teams were informed they no longer had jobs. One worker wrote, "Emotionally draining day. My friends were cut, and it just feels like a death. No one deserves to be without a job right before Christmas." Another technician commented, "They're ditching field techs in favour of contracting out to companies, so they don't have to pay salaries, benefits, taxes, etc. Going to start seeing cell towers being fixed with duct tape." Workers reported that roughly 180 stores were hit in a single day, with about 179 slated for divestment. Retail districts are being consolidated nationwide. Territories and districts will be redrawn, and that will cause impacts to local retail ops, one poster explained. "I called my mortgage company already. I don't know what else to do." Some workers noted that the layoffs will not be confined to the US. One Reddit commenter reported, "India is going to be impacted too. 13,000 across the US and India." Workers expressed outrage that a company reporting strong profits would simultaneously slash thousands of jobs on multiple continents. Across the forums, employees denounced the company's claim that the cuts are meant to simplify operations or improve customer experience. One wrote, "Verizon layoffs have nothing to do with AI. It's only about increasing the stock price." Another pointed to the insulting severance packages. "The severance pay is honestly so insulting," the worker noted, adding that it amounted to only 2 weeks of pay per year of service. Another summed up the broader mood. "Every Fortune 500 company is this greedy. No one cares about the working class." The long-delayed BLS report provides only a glimpse of the economic insecurity that tens of millions are facing as the economy slides towards a potential recession. The US officially added 119,000 jobs in September, a number the media described as stronger than expected. But the underlying details make clear that the labour market was already faltering before the shutdown. Gains were concentrated in low-paid, overstretched sectors, healthcare, restaurants, and social assistance, while critical productive industries continued to shrink. Manufacturing lost 6,000 jobs in September, extending a months-long decline. Transportation and warehousing lost 25,300 jobs, reflecting a contraction in logistics following massive cuts at UPS, Amazon, and warehouses throughout the country. The official unemployment rate rose from 4.3% to 4.4%, as 450,000 people entered or re-entered the labour force and could not find work. Wage growth slowed, leaving workers increasingly unable to keep up with housing costs, food prices, and basic expenses. The 6-week blackout of official labour data only obscures the worsening reality. According to the Cleveland Federal Reserve, 39,000 workers received formal layoff notices in October, a level seen early this year only in May, and before that only during acute periods of crisis. In the past several weeks, Amazon, General Motors, IBM, Microsoft, Paramount, Target, UPS, and other major corporations have all announced plans to eliminate tens of thousands of jobs. Verizon's 13,000 job assault is merely the latest and most visible expression of a rapidly widening corporate job-cutting campaign. These events intersect with the broader wave of layoffs reported by Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. In October alone, US-based employers announced 153,074 cuts, up to 175% from last October. Through the first 10 months of 2025, companies have announced 1,099,500 layoffs, a 65% increase from last year, and the highest figure for this point in the year since the mass pandemic layoffs in 2020. Technology companies lead the way, driven by restructuring around automation and AI, with more than 141,000 job cuts announced this year. Warehousing recorded nearly 48,000 cuts in October alone, as companies unwind pandemic-era expansion and automate operations. Retailers have slashed more than 88,000 jobs so far in 2025, an increase of 145% over last year, as chains shut stores and funnel resources into online operations built on low-wage, precarious labour. Cost-cutting was the reason cited for more than 50,000 of October's layoffs. AI-driven restructuring accounted for another 30,000. At the same time, planned hiring has collapsed to its lowest levels since 2011. Michigan's Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification WARN filings show the devastation in a single state. in recent weeks alone. Dana Thermal Products is closing its Auburn Hills facility, destroying 200 jobs. Ex-Alt Energy is shutting down operations in Midland and Auburn Hills, eliminating 134 jobs. Freudenberger Battery Power Systems is closing plants in both Auburn Hills and Midland, cutting 190 jobs. The Taubman Company is closing its Bloomfield Hills headquarters, wiping out 105 positions. Vankers is laying off 143 workers in Hazel Park. IAC is cutting 68 jobs in Alma and 178 in Mendon. Oakland Stamping is closing its Detroit plant, cutting 133 jobs. Coles Quality Foods is closing its Muskegon plant, eliminating 175 jobs. Spirit Airlines is temporarily laying off 103 workers. Vista Maria is laying off 154 workers in Dearborn Heights. And Anderton Machining is closing its Jackson facility, cutting 41 jobs. Similar closures and layoffs are occurring across every major industrial region of the United States. The Philadelphia Housing Authority is firing more than 300 union trades workers and will now contract out repairs as needed. Providence, Swedish and Providence, Oregon are cutting hundreds of hospital workers, including cleaners, technicians and essential non-clinical staff, while demanding more exhausting workloads from those who remain. Corporations, politicians and the media describe these layoffs as a market correction, an adjustment to consumer trends, or efficiency gains from AI. In reality, they reflect the deepening crisis of American capitalism. Corporate profits remain at historic highs, yet employers insist they cannot afford workers while funneling billions into share buybacks, dividends, and automation designed to eliminate jobs entirely. The Trump administration's escalating tariffs, combined with austerity at every level of government, have only intensified these pressures. This is an international crisis with mass layoffs spreading in Germany and Europe and throughout the world. Verizon workers, auto workers, logistics employees, healthcare workers, educators, retail workers, and public sector employees in the US and around the world face a common enemy, a corporate financial oligarchy determined to protect profits by destroying jobs and driving down wages. The unions, including the Communication Workers of America, the Service Employees International Union, the United Steelworkers, the United Auto Workers, and others, offer no strategy to oppose this onslaught. Instead, they seek to divide American workers from their international brothers through the promotion of economic nationalism and demand concessions in the name of saving jobs, even as plants and departments are wiped out one after another. The accelerating jobs massacre is a conscious policy of the capitalist class and its political servants. It can be halted only through a unified international counteroffensive of the working class, built through the formation of independent rank-and-file committees in every workplace. Only through collective struggle for a socialist alternative can workers defend their livelihoods and put an end to a system that sacrifices millions of jobs for the enrichment of a tiny elite. For these articles and more today, visit the World Socialist website, wsws.org. This has been John Davis.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI. with the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.